How are we doing today? Good? Woo! Yeah, a lot has happened lately. Like a lot. And I just want to mention, just bring it out there, you know, with our recent events with our brother, Charlie Kirk. Man, I'm still wrapping my head around all that, but I do know that it's on a lot of us right now. But honestly, I just can't help but feel fired up to just rain hell upon the forces of darkness. Am I right? Like, there's no greater time to stand up for what you believe in, to actually speak up and speak out loud and not care about what people might say, to be combative. You know, people, we think it's like, it's super scary, and it kind of is, but it's worth it, you know, because where darkness comes, light always prevails. And it's always like this, you know, but light will always shine. And it's honestly, it's scary. Like, someone, like, essentially was martyred, you know, and it's insane. But I hope all of you are as fired up as I am, because this is some good stuff. God's going to open up some amazing things in this coming season. So, yeah. In other news, I usually like to keep things lighthearted. I know it's like a bit of a heavy thing to talk about, but we're all still here. We're all here together. We're still gathered, and yeah, things are good. My goal today with this message, obviously the goal is to just talk about Jesus, right? Just open him up a little bit more into your lives. But my personal goal is to, I guess you could say, kind of provoke us a little bit into more of like a reflection of our destiny, our journey, our paths, the how should I say, the journey we've been on this far. I call this message, Are You There Yet? And ask yourself that, right? Are you there yet? But in the context of where is there, when you first encountered God, right, you came with something, with a need, right? What were you looking for? Before you encountered God, before you realized how badly you needed saving, what is it that you were looking for? And did you find it? Right? Oftentimes, it's either like a big yes or not yet. Right? A lot of us are in the not yet category because obviously, we don't just arrive, you know, in places in our lives where when we walk with God, we're like, oh, great, I got what I needed. I'm good. See you later. I'll come back next Sunday, right? Kind of familiar a little bit, at least to me. But it's okay to not be there yet. I want to make it very clear that when you first encounter God, you experience an encounter like you've never experienced before. Like, I remember my first encounter with God was when I was doing, I did cameras many moons ago. I was doing the media way back when it was just like me, Thomas, Jason, Vasya, and then like, that's it, you know? And I remember building up to this power encounter that I've had with God. It was a lot of me circumventing a lot of problems that I've been facing, like my addictions, my self-hatred, my self-harm, all of these issues that I've accumulated through just, I guess you can call it like debt. It's like every time we sin, we accumulate this debt, like this weight of ugliness. We accumulate it more and more and more, and the more we sin, right? And for me, my problem was like, I didn't realize what I was doing was bad. Because I didn't have any form of, like, structure, any form of, like, law that told me, like, this is bad, right? Because, like, when I remember looking into the Old Testament and having it explained to me, because it's a lot to read for a 14-year-old kid. But I remember being explained to me like this. The point of the Old Testament, the law, is to prove to humanity that we are in need of a Savior. Many times in the Old Testament, and I've read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, like so on and so forth. Not like the whole thing, but like yet. But I remember, like, for example, like reading in Job, like just like I couldn't help but just feel so much of Jesus in the book of Job, because he references like a point where he was so far into his pain, he's like crying out for a remedy, like a savior. He mentions like someone to absolve all of the issues in this world unto himself. And it kind of like sprinkles a little bit of Jesus in the Old Testament, so on and so forth. The book of Isaiah mentions it so many times, so many cross references. But I remember I went to the point where I had no law, and when I was touched by the Holy Spirit, it was literally like in our old church building. I remember crying out to God. I was like, man, if you're real, like just show it to me. Because I was really skeptical with my faith, like really skeptical. And I remember I only started going to church because I was always home. I tried skipping church, but try skipping church as a pastor's kid, right? You got to come up with all these excuses, right? And I'm glad, I am so thankful that my parents, not in like a forceful way, but in a very like loving and encouraging way, you know, like pushing me there. But I remember my efforts to like know God was through service, right? Serving. In cameras, right? That was my facet of trying to get closer to God and trying to understand his heart, right? Because I knew if I'm standing next to this person, like one of my friends, and he's getting wrecked by God, right? We all come to conferences, like we all come up to the front, they got blue tape, you know, stand here, and I'm standing there like, okay, I want to experience what God has for me. The guy comes, like my friend is right here. He gets knocked to the ground, and I'm just like, and then the next person, I'm like, what, you know, like what's going on, you know? And it was years of that over and over and over. Keep in mind, I was still living a double life. I still wanted something, and I was warring against, I guess you could say, my own flesh, you know? I wasn't there yet where I wanted to be. But I knew that there was something on the other side of this, because I've exhausted all the other options, right? And I remember, and that's where it led to me experiencing God's love for the first time, was like, it wasn't in this building. It was like in a corner somewhere by the drums. So I always wanted freedom. That was my big thing. I wanted to be free. Free from sin, free from guilt and shame, because I couldn't talk to anybody about my issues. Like, you know, not even my pops, you know, because I mean, like, how, like it's hard, you know, even for all of you, like, sons and daughters. Like, imagine try going up to your parents and confessing everything out of the blue when you're just a teenager, you know. Of course, you're going to be a teenager. You're going to be, I always wanted freedom, but the way I wanted it was in my own way. I was like, oh, I have Jesus, then I have freedom, and then I'm good, you know. But I realized that, man, if at that moment, when I was encountering Jesus, I was like, if I don't have Jesus, I don't have freedom. And I don't care about my freedom. I care about Jesus. I wanted Jesus more than my freedom from sin, my freedom from shame and guilt and condemnation and judgment. I wanted Jesus more. And that was my first encounter with God, when I realized that there is no going back. This has to be it. In a way, I felt like I arrived, right? I got it. God gave me this little drop. A little drop from heaven came down, and it just hit me in the head, and I was wrecked. I remember just like holding the camera and just falling on my knees and crying and sobbing. And I remember hearing on the intercom, Vach is like, what's up? What's going on? Like, what are you doing? And I just took it all off. I didn't care. And I started worshiping God. Little like 15, 16 year old me worshiping his heart out. All these emotions, you know, when you're hitting puberty, you got all these emotions, but it was more real than I could have ever experienced at that moment. And that's where I changed a lot about myself. But even then, I still wasn't there yet. But phase one was complete. I knew that God was so real that there was no way I could ever doubt his existence, because that was my breaking point. I was like, God, if you are real, do this. And he came through. And I remember I would say that stuff before, but it wasn't like, it was more of just like, oh, if God, if you're real, this bird will land on my hand. You know, it's like some funny thing, you know. Or like a butterfly land on my finger, you know, like, sure, you know, you can test it, but, you know, are you going to not believe in God just because a butterfly didn't fly on your finger? You know, it's kind of ridiculous. My point I'm trying to make is you will never arrive, okay? There will always be a journey. There will always be a sanctification in your life at every point. At every chapter, doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 90 years old, you will always move from glory to glory, from strength to strength. It will be, and it will echo into eternity. It won't just like stop and then you're like, you're perfect, and all you do is you lock yourself into a temple up in the mountains and until you die. You know, that's lame. That's just gluttony. That's spiritual gluttony. The Bible says this in Romans 12:2. We all know this. We have it etched into our pillows and on our Instagram bios, but I'll read it to you anyways. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we have this destination in our lives. When we get touched by God and he reveals us a glimpse, just a little keyhole sized glimpse of into our future, and we think, that's it, that's where I need to go. But I'm telling you, yes, you will get there eventually, but if you have your mind focused on the finish line, you will completely miss out on the journey that is coming before you. I remember hearing this from my mentor in my third year of ministry school. I remember I was super fired up. It was right in the beginning of the school year, and I was like super fired up. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to just go back home and do this, and just like go here, go there, and go to the moon. And then I remember just hearing like, dude, shut up, dude, stop. Like, just point blank, like, why? He's like, if you're fixated on that, then you will completely miss out on everything these 9 months have for you. And I remember being told, buy furniture, right? Because like we get into this temporary place in our lives. This is kind of like a me thing, I guess you could say. I was in like each school year lasts about 9 months, and I got like my own little room, my own little place. And a lot of the times I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna waste money on something. I'm not gonna invest into something that's temporary. I always told myself, I'm not gonna like fully own this time of my life and really grasp it for myself. I'm just gonna like sit here, maybe like put like a little thing on the wall, maybe like get some of this, get some of that, just a blanket. But no, I just decorated my corner of the room. I know Jason was living with me at that time. Shout out to my roommate who put up with me. Yeah, hey, I put up with you too, so woo. But yeah, we're still friends, which says a lot. I had so many roommates. Man, I once lived in a house with 14 guys. Try and do that. That's a lot of testosterone. Whoo! Like one of the guys in the room next to me literally had like a shoebox. I kid you not. It was like a shoebox size room. Man, it was crazy. But it was like, I would say probably one of the most fun times of my time over there, because it's like a bunch of guys. There's always stuff happening. Super good. But yeah, just kind of a little rabbit trail there. It's not about getting and arriving to your destination, to where God has for you. While part of your journey is to be there at some point, it's not really going to happen in the way that we think, right? It's all about who you are becoming. Are you a better person right now than when you were when you first encountered God at that exact moment? Was there even a slight, maybe you encountered God a week ago, a month ago, years ago, a decade, 2 decades ago, even further. Are you a better person as a result, or are you not? See, the answer is yes. I will answer for you. The answer is yes. You are all sitting here right now because you know that this is the best place you can be, and that's a start. That is a start for some of you, right? For a lot of us, like me, you have to literally point a gun in my head and tell me not to come to church for me to not come to church. It's just like, it's part of me, you know? Like, I remember at my job, like, I got offered promotion, like, 3 times, but I was like, Sundays? Do I work Sundays? Like, yeah. I'm like, nope. And then again, like, they're like, okay, if we can fix Sundays for you, I'm like, they're like, can we? I'm like, sure. And like, okay, we can't give you Sundays. Can you do it? I'm like, nope. I'm here. This is my home. This is my home. But who are you becoming? What is the ultimate goal, right? So it's not about the destination. It's about who you are becoming. What are you becoming? You're all becoming, I'm included. We are all becoming children of God. That is what we are undergoing, the process we're undergoing, becoming one with God. Being with so close with Jesus that when people come across us, they cross paths with us, they can't help but be like, man, you're a Christian, aren't you? Like, why? Because you're always so dang happy, you know? I get that a lot at my job. People literally think I'm like 18 years old, you know? They think I'm like 19 years old. And I'm like, dude, you can't even work at this job if you're that young. You got to be at least 21, you know? And I tell them I'm 26, and then, you know, people are like, what? They're like astonished because they're like 22 and they look like they're 30, you know? I'm like, and I tell them, like, I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I don't drink. I don't smoke. My testimony might not be the most radical, insane transformation 180, but man, do I have a story to tell you. God is good, and you, like, for me personally, my testimony is you don't have to experience the world to know that God is good. Just be with Him. You don't have to search through all the lies to find the truth. Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is nothing that you can do to get to the Father except through me. See, we all want this oneness, this closeness, not only with ourselves, but with something else that's out there, you know, because we all look up to the sky, we all have dreams and aspirations, but then we always go back to the origins. It's like, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the point of all this, you know? And part of that, understanding that, is to know that God has a plan for you, right? And if you're not there yet, give yourself some grace. Give yourself time. Because if you cannot fall in love with the person who you once were before you met Christ, you are keeping love out of your story. See, it's important that we keep love as a part of our story, always. You see, when someone like cuts me off, you know, and I have this tendency of just being violent and angry and seek out revenge, no, my story is wrapped around very carefully in love. That, yeah, what they did is stupid, but they're not stupid. Just what they did is stupid, you know? And I'll just forget about it. Just blip it out of my head, you know? When I have an argument with somebody, when someone double-crosses me to my face, you know, what am I going to do? What is inside of me, you know? What is inside of you? What is your first instinct reaction? Obviously, yes, you know, the law paints a very clear picture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Why? Because inside of us, without grace, without mercy, that's what lies deep within us. It's like, oh, you do this to me, I do this to you. I have to. This is the law, right? This is how it is. No, grace and mercy and love and truth speaks a different word. And that's Jesus right there. He speaks a different word over each and every one of our lives so that He can be glorified. So that, like, this is the point of us. To glorify God, to glorify Jesus, His existence, to acknowledge His lordship. This is what it's all about. But again, we're not all going to just arrive there in a finger snap right when we have this powerful encounter with God. We're going to go home and reality sinks in and we're like, crap, I have a lot of holes inside of me that need filling. I am Swiss cheese right now. But God, I felt you and I cannot unfeel the thing that you did. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life for as long as I can. And that's what it's all about, really. So give yourself grace. When you can't, when you feel like you're stuck and you're not really where you're at or where you want to be or where you think you're supposed to be, just give yourself time. Just love yourself for who you were and who you are. And like treat yourself like a little, like if you were to see like a little baby version of yourself. You know, you're not going to be like, you're nothing. No, you're just going to be like, here, I'll pick you up, carry you around. You're coming with me. I love you. Yada, yada, yada. So are you uplifting Christ and others in need, right? Have you chose relationship with others over being right, right? If we are searching for greatness within ourselves, first of all, we cannot find it without God, right? Jesus even said himself, he's like, there is no one good except for God. Only God is good, right? We like every religion on every other religion in this world besides Christianity, or along with Christianity, teaches you the same thing, is to be good, right? Christianity, what separates Christianity is you cannot do it without God. You cannot be good without God all the time, right? Every other religion, it's like it's acts, it's works, it's this, yada, 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 follow this, give me some money, give me all your life savings, and then here you go. Here's your salvation, blah, blah, blah. But no, with Christ, salvation is so easy because salvation is a gift. That's part of it being a gift is you have nothing to do with it, you know? There's nothing you did to receive it, nothing you could do to receive it, but you have it, you know? Every other religion, it's false, it's not even worth mentioning. But this is why Jesus is so real to all of us and why he has to be real to all of us. Because this is it's written, it's finished, it's done. All that's left is for us to just align ourselves with what has been said and written and to just be in agreement with the cross that we are in need of a savior. We are in need of nourishment for our soul and our spirit, and we cannot do it without God. So who are you becoming? Are you taking care of your identity? Are you an orphan or are you a son or a daughter? Right? Are you living off of deficit and lack? Or are you living off of the abundance and the access that you have access to, right? Taking care of your identity is crucial into becoming a child of God because you are a child of God and it takes work, it takes effort to maintain that because the enemy will always try to throw fiery darts at you to throw you off, to get you to feel insecure about yourself, to like, hey, this lady over here, look at her. And then you just like change everything about yourself so you can get her to like you. Yeah, don't do that, guys. Don't do that. Have you learned to worship? Have you laid down? Have you been with Jesus so intensely and to such a degree that you have laid down your dignity? Have you laid down your dignity? Because that's the one thing, especially I like to think of it for us guys, like dignity, our dignity, us having this hold over ourselves of like, this is what people, I want people to think of me. This is what I want people to say about me. This is what I want for myself. To lose your dignity is to just throw that away. Just because I don't care about what people think about me. I don't care what I look like. I want Jesus more than anything, more than to be the cool guy or to be the influential guy or the rich guy or the, you know, like that guy, you know, like It's not, none of that is important. Have you laid down your dignity? Have you killed your old self and risen up your new self with Christ? Have, like, again, this isn't, I'm not trying to, like, poke at some of you being like, oh, if you're not here, haha. This is like, hey, this is something for us to realize, even for me, you know, like I had a really good and not so good time writing this message because it convicted me a lot about my own personal issues. And like, and it was kind of fun, honestly. I'm like doing deliveries, you know, like listening to nothing but worship music for like a week. And I'm just like crying, and there's a camera watching me, you know, I'm just like crying. I'm just like, Jesus. Oh. And then like, you know, people, you know, like, I have to, like, sometimes someone's mowing their lawn and they kind of meet you up at, you know, before you get to their front door. And I'm just like, sorry, it's on your packet. You know. Are you walking by faith? This is a very important one. Because when God shows you something about you at the start of your life, right? Why I say that is because our lives, your life, your life, your life, all of your lives hasn't started until you met Christ. That is when your life actually starts, okay? When your life starts, God shows you something, and you're like, what is this? This is impossible. How do I do this? And he shows you, you can do it with me, you know? God will give you impossible situations. How you steward those impossible situations to work into your benefit, to give God glory, is you walk by faith. Because you need impossible situations to grow in faith. It's a requirement. It's like, oh, God, give me wisdom. You know, it's a, you think it's just like airdrop, download, boop, here you go. No, God's going to give you something that makes you feel so stupid that you're gonna have no choice but to really think about it and come up with a plan, a like an execution, and as a result, you grow in wisdom, right? If I, Lord, teach me to love, God's gonna give me some really messed up person in front of me who really wants help but doesn't know how to ask for it. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? Love this person. I love you. You're so awesome. You know, it's like you don't just arrive. It's all about the process and the journey into becoming who God wants you to become. But we have to submit ourselves to this idea that it's not gonna look like how we think it's gonna look like. God works in mysterious ways. You know, they say that. It's like again, etched on those pillows that you go to TJ Maxx and you see all these like decorations, all that stuff. He really does, you know? And oftentimes when I'm met with certainty and like, okay, this is how I'm gonna do this. This is how God's gonna show up and it's gonna be amazing. And it never works out that way. It just like, I get like, you know, like smacked in behind, you know, like in, metaphorically speaking, of course. But I digress, right? When God touches you, truly touches you, it changes everything, everything about you, right? And however, if you claim to be touched by God and you are doing what you normally do, if you like end up going into this backsliding, right? I would question whether you were even touched to begin with, because God is all powerful. He is all loving. He is all knowing. And if we truly are at the end of ourselves and we recognize our need for him, and at that moment he touches us, we are forever changed. Point blank, period, full stop. If we have to go back and to baptize ourselves again and again and just dunk, 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 then I question whether it is like if you're even where you are supposed to be, you know? It's like, you know, jump into the fire a little bit more, you know, sit and cook a little bit into the fire and be purified, you know. But you cannot change, you cannot transform your life without change. It is a requirement. Because without it, you're just saying stuff. You're just doing stuff. And it'll always come back full circle over and over. That's why they call it a cycle, right? Like I remember when I was stuck in my cycle of sin, what drew me, pulled me back from accepting Christ into my life fully and wholeheartedly was like, man, I was afraid of giving up my old life. I knew that like I was so, I loved video games. I loved just sitting at home and just doing nothing and just like doing all kinds of sinning, you know. If you're a guy, you probably know what I'm talking about. And I knew that if I were to accept Christ, I have to give up all that. Like I knew that, you know, like I somehow recognized that I can't have one without the other. You know, and that's what pulled me away from it for a couple years until I realized that like this is not worth keeping. This sin, this baggage, this debt that I've been accumulating, it's not worth keeping. It doesn't belong on my shoulders. It's like, you know, we all have this like question we ask God. It's like, there has to be more. There has to be more to life than this. Just circle, running in circles, you know, just doing the same thing over and over again. And then that's where we reach the dead end of our lives, or we're at the end of ourselves to where our life begins. Like, and this can, for some people, take us maybe like 10 years, like a couple years to 5 years, 10 years. Sadly, some people wait until they're like 30s, 40s, 50s to then realize like, oh crap, what was I doing? What was I thinking, you know? But God redeems those who ask for it, those who are in need of redemption. God always answers. He never leaves anyone astray. So let's look to Romans 12:2, and I want to just quickly go over symptoms of a transformed mind. And these are things not really to, I guess, not really strive for, but honestly to just look at them in reflection and see them as, I guess you could say, like evidence in your lives to know if, as like a barometer to understand if, is, am I living a transformed life from the day that I accepted Christ as my Lord, as my King, as my God, right? So what does a renewed mind look like? You live in hope, right? There's nothing that comes to you where you don't get sidetracked, where you don't get just blown away with anxiety and fear. Oftentimes, I always look back at my story, you know, and I encourage you, all of you, believe in your story. Believe in the 40 years that God took you through. Now, I say like this metaphorically, like we all wander through the desert in points of our lives to the promised land. But remember those 40 years. What did God do in you to give you so much hope in that situation? The impossible seems possible. It seems reasonable because you understand that you put all your eggs into God, into that basket. And it's a basket worth putting all your eggs in because he's an all-powerful God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And nothing is impossible without God. It's even written in scripture, you know. This is a big one. You rejoice in your weakness. See, when I look for God's strength in my life, even for like this moment right now, like doing this, you know, I look back in my old self. Like if some of you know me like 10 years ago, I was not the type of person you would look at and be like, okay, this is what you're gonna do. Like my older sister, even like I remember her telling me, it's like, who of all people? She's like, would do what you're doing. Like I would never think that someone like you, no, like, cause she grew up with me. She knew all of my good and my bad, mostly like my bad, you know, cause that's siblings for you. And I was like, you're right. I was like, I didn't realize it that way. It's like, dang, God is so good. There is so much grace to do his will if you just obey and if you just listen. Like, almost blindly. Sure, yeah, you guess you can call it blind faith, because, heck, I didn't even know what I was doing. I thought I was going to be a veterinarian castrating cats for a living, you know? That was my thing. I love animals. I still love animals, you know? You say anything about, I got cat facts out the wazoo. Like, I can just, you know, all the time. Dogs, sure, I'm not really a dog. Cats, yeah. I thought I was going to be doing that. I didn't think I would be doing this, you know, because I was the very introverted, shy, didn't talk much unless I knew you. And then if I knew you, if I was comfortable around you, yep. You know, my appearance on the outside never pointed to me being like speaking in public, you know, but God's grace is so sufficient. And that's where the impossible becomes possible. I didn't think this was possible. Never did I do that. And I remember God sharing this with me, like, and hearing prophetic words for like a decade by now, you know, about like stuff in like speaking and ministry and all that stuff. And in those moments being like, oh, heck no, dude, you really? Look at me, come on, look at me. You see, you think so? No. And then here I am. But yeah, God can do anything. That's what I'm trying to say, is God can do absolutely anything with you. You know, God will do amazing things with every single one of you. You know, and some people are probably like, oh, I don't know about that guy over there. No, that guy too, that girl too. God will do amazing things. You just have to have hope, faith, and just be okay when you're faced with an impossible situation. Hey, with God, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Right? You're quick to forgive. Part of being living in a transformed mind, a transformed body, is we line ourselves up with Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus. Jesus was the type of person to forgive. He is the cornerstone of what forgiveness really looks like, what true love looks like. Jesus modeled that very clearly, you know. If you were to think of, like, what is the greatest act of love? Like, think about it. What is the greatest act of love you can possibly show to someone? You would die for them. And there's no one on this earth that would die the way Jesus did for little old me, for little old anybody, the worst of the worst, you know? Like, he did it anyways because he loved us so much. And that is worth believing in. That is worth laying down my own ideas of what I think my life should look like. Just laying that down and just pursuing him, you know? Because when we do that, good things happen, you know? We seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and everything will be added to us accordingly. But we seek him first, right? Not because we get anything out of him, to get anything out of him, but so that we can be with him. Because I promise you, if you haven't felt God in your life, if you haven't been completely touched by the Holy Spirit in such a way where you don't look back anymore at your old self, trust me, it is something else. There is nothing else like it. And it's worth it. God is worth it. He is worth taking seriously, you know? Right? Going down the list, you believe in others. You are quick to celebrate other people's victories, even if it comes like as a sting, you know? When I when I see people get promoted instead of me, you know, if you see other people in your life close to you get promoted instead of you, what is your initial reaction? What is your first instinct? Do you jump up with them? Do you celebrate with them? Do you pray for them? Do you affirm them? Or do you just turn away and just in bitterness and just like in jealousy because, oh, that should have been me. See, that's how orphans act. because they think, oh, that position is gone. There's nothing else for me. I'm going to be here. I'm going to suck because of that. And I blame God. If you do that, then your God is small. That if you behave in a way where it's like, okay, there's nothing else God can give me because that's taken, that is a small God that is living inside of you. That is a very teeny tiny one. God is so big. There are many doors for him to open for you. And all you have to do is wait, right? And I see these moments of like celebrating others and their promotion as like a test, you know? And I love celebrating others. But it's not like it comes easy every single time. It does sting. Like, we have to be real with ourselves. When we see a brother or a sister pursuing something that we also are pursuing, and we're happy for them, but we cannot deny the fact that it stings. And oftentimes, we bring that to God. Like, God, I love you. I know you have a plan for me. But man, what I thought this was, it wasn't. And it still hurts, you know? And then that's where God comes and he's like, hey, look at this, like I got all this for you to choose from, you know, and that's worth believing in. Thankful and confident, right? Emphasis on confidence, right? Because when you truly like are no longer who you were, you step into something greater inside of yourself. Like inside of you, there is the type of person that God wants you to be. And when you step into that, you're not looking around you left or right, you know. Comparison really is a really big killer of confidence. Because if I'm comparing myself, I am killing everything that I have going on already inside of me, right? The fastest way you can kill something is to compare it to something else, right? So removing comparison, being confident in what you already have, because you didn't make you, right? We live in a day and age where a lot of our identity comes from the self, like in the world, right? Like I like to think that like this generation is like one of the first generation that thinks that our identity comes from ourselves. Well, you didn't make you. We didn't make ourselves. So how can we know for sure what our lives are supposed to look like? So be confident, not in the fact that you know where you're going, but that God knows what he's doing and where you're going. And you just are confident in that. Point blank, period, full stop. Right? Lastly is peace. Nothing is worth robbing your peace. If I'm thinking of something and it ruins my peace, it takes it away. It costs too much. It's not worth it. It's too expensive. It's not within my budget. It's not my price range. Like I don't need that. That's just gonna put me in debt. You know, it's gonna make me broke. So remove yourself from anything that robs you of your peace, whether it's a person, whether it's a job, you know, like I love delivering packages, but like, you know, at Amazon, but it's not going to be the rest of my life, you know, like I'm already up my end with that, you know, it's great. I do a good job. They love me, but like, I gotta go. But if it takes you away from where you're supposed to go, that's a great barometer. Right? If you're thinking about it and you're just like, oh, if it's a drag, you know, anything outside of, you know, work-related endeavors, it costs too much. Your peace is worth way more than, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking of doing or that person that you're choosing to spend your personal time with. Your peace is very valuable. Cherish it. And it's something worth fighting for, you know. Peace is not a passive term. It's a very, very forward-thinking term, because there's a lot of things you can think of that want to remove you of your peace. Like, for example, like a parent, right? Let's say I have a kid and they're out and it's getting late, right? First thing I think of, oh, crap, they're in a ditch, they're kidnapped. Like, first instinct is the bad, you know? And it robs me of my peace, you know? That right there, boom. I mean, I honestly don't know where I was going with that because I don't have kids. That's as far as I'll go. But this is the journey that I want to go over with you guys, right? This is the process that we're all undergoing to become children of God, right? These are, and I pointed out very clearly the evidence of these things. And I want us to kind of model our lives, not only just towards the fruit, not only towards all of these wonderful aspects, but to focus on the source of these things. Because you can sit in a classroom, in a seminar, and sit all day long, write notes until your pen runs out of ink or you run out of space on your iPad or on your notebook. But if you don't wrap yourself around the personhood of Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he paved the way for us to get into these things, to step into this, right? Because Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that those who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life." See, that everlasting life isn't just you die and then you go to heaven. No, everlasting life is the life you currently live, you're currently living to this day, and you are producing fruit. You are raising a family and you are doing a great job at it, and you give glory to God because of it, right? You see your children live up to way surpass way beyond what you thought they were capable of, right? And you feel so happy all the time, right? That's the everlasting life, I believe, that Jesus mentions. It's not just only when we die and we live in heaven, but while we live here on earth, there is still a purpose for us, you know? Because if salvation, the purpose of salvation was purely for us just to be saved, then just go ahead and die and go to heaven and you know, there you go. No, there is a purpose for us here on this earth, and Jesus paints it very clearly that he wants us to live an everlasting life, right? An eternal, everlasting life that is fruitful, that it carries peace, where you carry hope, you carry joy, peace, love, patience. This is the journey, everybody. This is the journey, family. Let's all stand. And here's what I want us to do. I don't know, you guys are probably going to hate me for this, but if I can have a prayer team just come up to the front and face the crowd, preferably people who, you know who you are. If you come up here and you pray for people, also, I want to encourage discipleship team. If you know who you are, come up to the front. Look, I don't want to just do an altar call, all these things, and just do, look, if you need healing, if you need refreshment, if you need encouragement, please come up to the front, right? Oh, she's already on it. Dang. I was like, I feel the presence right now. And I'm like, oh, there you go. You guys can scoot more towards the middle. Thank you. If you are in need of encouragement, refreshment, if you need healing, if there is something that is going on in your life and you feel feel like you're at the end of yourself, please come forward. I don't want us to miss out on God's power and his glory and how present it is that God is alive today. And yeah, we're going to end service. It's kind of abrupt, but hey, I love you guys. Thank you for coming. If you need anything, please come up to the front. She'll keep playing until she feels like she's done. But hey, let's all do this together. Yeah. Love you guys. Have a good week. See you next week. All right. Love you.